If you would please turn in your Bibles to Psalm 111. We also are going to be considering as our text from Matthew 6 verse 11, which is Jesus teaching to us about praying for our needs. Give us this day our daily bread. We consider that particular verse, focused on that particular verse this morning as we use the word to shine light on what we confess and what we're to understand as to how our lives are to be lived and our prayers to be prayed. And this morning we're looking at Lord's Day 50 then in light of God's word as we continue to work our way through the Heidelberg Catechism, one of our confessional statements, you might say, what we call a lot of times the three forms of unity, this being one of them, the other two being the Belgic Confession and the Canons of Dort. So we're looking at Lord's Day 50, dealing with the Lord's Prayer, the fourth request, give us this day our daily bread, question 125, page 62, in the back of the hymn book. First of all, though, let's read from God's Word. Psalm 111. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the company of the upright, in the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of splendor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful. I think especially of this verse, of all the verses that are here in this psalm, that consider this. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works in giving them the inheritance of the nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever, to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and all those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. And again, as Jesus teaches his disciples how to pray, the fourth thing he teaches them, as far as petitions go, is give us this day our daily bread, from Matthew 6:11. We want to take a look at how we respond to these instructions from God's Word. We look to Lord's Day 50 in question 125. I would appreciate if you would answer with me this question. What does the fourth request mean? Give us this day our daily bread means take care of all our physical needs so that we come to know that you are the only source of everything good, and that neither our work and worry nor your gifts can do us any good without your blessing. And so help us to give up our trust in creatures and to put trust in you alone. Having heard from God's word, let's take a moment to respond in prayer and ask that that word might be a blessing to us as we walk before our God. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we pray and we pray and we pray again. This time we ask that for Jesus' sake, what we have read, what we meditate on, what our focus is, where our focus is found, might be such that we might exalt you, we might praise you, we might trust you, that we would rely on you and you alone when it comes to the care of our physical needs. And that in the process, Lord, we would come to know that you truly are the only source of everything good. May you help us, Lord, by your Spirit, to respond to your word as we ought. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, amen. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, I think it would be somewhat interesting if you could take time and draft a questionnaire, not saying you, but just if people in general could be questioned in a community or in a country and ask them if they lived or if they worked so that they could have things, or if they have things so they can live or work. If they lived or worked so that they could have things, or if they have things so that they could live or work. Now, in some respect, there is need, we realize, for both of those philosophies to some extent. Because in order for me to be able to live, I'm in need of some basic things, after all. And Scripture will say, on the other hand, that if people shall not work, they shall not eat. We need to work to eat. And yet for some people, their life is to work. And that's a temptation, certainly, for everyone. Sometimes we call such people workaholics who let everything fall by the wayside because their work's everything. It's everything to them. And they live to work for work's sake. That's the end of things. And if they eat, they eat to work. And for others, life is about having things. And of course, that's a temptation for anyone. Whether it's needs or wants, or where even needs develop into undisciplined wants. And they live to have things. And that's the end of things. They may even live to eat. Not just to work so they can eat. Eating is everything. Just like for some, having things is everything. But the Lord Jesus helps us in our praying and in the process helps us in our living. No less so in this fourth petition where he teaches us the need for prayer on a daily basis and gives to us perspective on our daily needs. The fourth petition, give us this day our daily bread, helps us understand our place and priorities in life as God's children in Christ. It helps us to understand our needs as well as the source of these needs as the Lord calls us to daily prayer as his children. Let's consider then those three points this morning as we think about the daily prayers of God's children in Christ. First of all, how Christ teaches us to remember or to know our place and our priorities as we pray and as we live. The first three petitions of our Lord speak directly to our Father's name, our Father's kingdom, and our Father's will in heaven. And this in Jesus Christ, after all. Everything we understand that way is directed in that sense to the cause of God in Jesus Christ. And it reminds us, as we've seen to some extent already, that contrary to our natural propensity, our natural desire, contrary to the spirit of the age, contrary to the temptations that come our way, it is not our cause, it is not our needs, let alone our wants, that come to the forefront in our prayers. We seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and the promise comes our way then, in that very same chapter that we find this fourth petition, that all these other things, the things that our Father knows we need, will be added unto us. So when we ask the question then, do we live, eat to live, or do we live to eat? The Lord gives us insight. Yes, we're called to work for a living, but when it comes to the priority of life, the Lord Jesus sets it straight for us in light of His grace to us, for whose sake it is that we're possessing and for whose sake it is that we're producing. And it isn't, as we're tempted to believe and as some people do believe, that it is for possessing sake. Or that it's for production's sake. Because it's not. It's for God's sake. And so we eat to serve the Lord's cause. And we eat so that we can worship Him. And we eat so that we might seek His kingdom. And we eat so that we might do God's will. And so we seek and we ask and we knock, not first of all, nor for the end that we might have, that we might possess. That's not the end of things. That's not the purpose. That's not the goal. Our health isn't the end of life. Our financial need is not the end of life. Our success and our accomplishments are not the end of life. Are they important things? Yes, they're important things. Are these things not important to all of us? To a degree, yes, sure. But they aren't the end of life. As important as they are subservient to the greater cause to which we've been called. Namely, the glory of our Father, the glory of our God, the magnification of His cause and His name and His kingdom and His will. From an athletic framework, somebody might say, and a coach might say that the name on the front would mean a whole lot more to us than the name on the back. For Christians, it isn't the cause of John or Mary or Bob, but it is the cause of the Father. It's the cause of the kingdom of God. It is the cause of Jesus Christ for which we seek our need. And that priority follows not just in terms of the position of the petition, fourth amongst the first four, God first, me second, but also in the relationship that I have as a child of God in Christ. The cause of the family name of God and His Christ is more important to me then, to honor, than my own individual wants and desires with what I possess and with what I need. It's like making sure to the degree that you do that, like for me, that the Vermeer family honor comes before John's wants and John's desires with what I possess and what I need. Such a priority impacts the content of a prayer, the specific petition of it, and even the spirit of the prayer. But I don't come to the Father like some spoiled child who has had everything given to himself all his life and demand that God once again step up to the plate and provide whatever it is that I seek. Because I'm convinced in my own thinking and heart that what I'm requesting is something that I deserve. I don't come demanding my cause to take priority to that of God's or lose sight of it because I'm just so consumed with my own. I have to come to know my place. I'm God's child in Christ. I'm called to serve His cause. It's not the other way around. See, when we remember the place of the petition of our daily needs in the Lord's Prayer, we remember the proper order of life. It's not that our cause comes before God's, and it's not even that we work and that we serve to eat. Because neither of these are the end of life. We don't eat for eating's sake. We don't work for work's sake. God's cause, God's sake, comes before our own as His children in Christ. And we are supplied what we're supplied, and we seek our supply for that cause. Our eating and drinking are so we can glorify God. And even our eating and drinking themselves are to be done to the glory of God. When we pray daily as God's children saved by Christ and taught by Christ, we are also doing so as people who have come to know our need. We pray, give us this day our daily bread. Now, I would suppose, and some of you are familiar with this, I would suppose that if we tried to sell a loaf of bread, or maybe just a plateful of daily bread, we tried to sell that on eBay, I would doubt very much that we would get very many bids, even if we offered free shipping. But if we offered a gold or a platinum bar, then the bids would multiply right before our eyes. But when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we're praying for what we need and what we need and receiving what we need are both most precious. They're really what's precious. If I need to live today, a luxury item isn't going to feed me. Take the gold bar. Not unless I sell it. But a loaf of bread will. I haven't been promised or asked or called to pray for a luxury item. But I have been promised and been directed to pray for what I need. That the Father will provide what I need in accordance with His glorious riches in Christ. That's what I've been asked to pray for. What I need. Because what I need and receiving what I need are most precious. That's what I need for the day. And I come to see then what's precious in the fourth petition. I'd like to think that what is precious to me are my wants. So that's what I'd like to be convinced of. And I'd like to think that what's precious to me are those things that I cannot afford on eBay. That bugs me. Unsettles me. Causes me discontent. I can't afford those things. Costs me too much. Tremendous amount of cash or time or sweat or worry to be able to get things like that. But Jesus teaches to me that what's precious to me is what I need. What I need to be able to serve my God, which is most precious of all. And I come to see through the fourth petition that the Lord has taught me to grow in contentment and perspective in what's truly precious. What's precious is to be able to serve my Savior and to have what I need to carry that out. And what I need to carry out for today, because I don't have tomorrow yet. Give us this day our daily bread. I discover how needy I am in the fourth petition. And I also discover what it really means to be needy. Because otherwise, often, I could act like I am not needy with every new day. I'm breathing. I'm prosperous. Food's on the table. I don't always appreciate how needy I am. On the other hand, I can get so worried about what I do not have for tomorrow that I forget that I haven't been given tomorrow yet. And the fourth petition squares that up for us. Our need is as long as the day, as we live and move and have our being only by God, so that I may not live in proud self-reliance. And yet, by our Father's mercy, it is also not beyond the day, so that I'm not weighed down by that which I cannot bear. We can all be thankful to the Savior for that kind of a petition, so that while we know we have our needs, they can be qualified and they can be quantified by the Savior's teaching on prayer. Give us today our daily bread. May I pray every day because I need my God every single day. Well, we also come to know the source of our petitions each day. Psalm 111 is a psalm that reminds us in various ways that God is truly the benevolent covenant Lord of His people, worthy of praise, worthy of imitation, which is reflected in Psalm 112, the sister psalm that actually expresses that reflection of Psalm 111. Psalm 111 talking about the benevolent God, Psalm 112 talking about the benevolent man in God, ultimately in Christ, but certainly that which we're called to reflect as well. Well, when we know our Heavenly Father then, in that regard, as the source of all things, we come to see an even greater degree that what is often considered mundane and ordinary is truly precious and extraordinary and praiseworthy. The psalm says, praise the Lord, He provides food. Oh, there's other things. His splendor and His majesty and His work, His wondrous works to be remembered, His grace, His works are faithful and just, trustworthy, redemption for His people, covenant forever, all kinds of things. But also food. Ordinary, everyday food. We pray, give us this day our daily bread, knowing that it is first of all not the work that I did that got it there, or the truck driver who delivered it to the store, or the grocery store that sold it to me, or the farmer who planted the seed, or worse yet, the whims of fate that somehow provided what I needed. Isn't that lucky? No, it is, as 2 Corinthians 9 would say, quoting Psalm 112, by the way. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, it is He. It is God Himself. And that may not be miraculous in what we think about as miraculous, but it's supernatural. That food is a divine gift, no less so than the day that is provided so that you and I can live and move and have our being. A day that we could never have supplied ourselves. A day that is only supplied by the governing and upholding hand of the Father in heaven, whose Son is given authority in heaven and on earth, and whose Spirit makes life to abound. But it is only God's children in Jesus Christ who come to understand this and to appreciate this to the point of prayer. It isn't because of their intelligence, but because of God's grace, first of all. They come to know by grace that God's creative hand is the reason why they live and they move and they have their being. And nothing because of themselves. But that very same God in His recreative hand has adopted them into His recreative and gracious family to the grace of Jesus Christ. And that's so that our minds can be open, so we can know and we can acknowledge, as the psalmist does, where all our needs, both spiritual and physical, are met. It's in this Father. It's in this God who in His covenant mercies didn't spare His own Son, and in His covenant mercies will also, along with Him, graciously give us all things. Holy and awesome is His name. Everything's a gift. All good gifts around us are sent from heaven above. Even the little things are big that way. Coming to the Father, then, in that spirit, is a coming that takes nothing for granted, including the need for the Father to bring blessing on whatever it is that we do receive. We make that comment, don't we, as a church, that neither our work or worry nor your gifts can do any good for us without your blessing. You know, we can have all we need and we can have all we want, but none of it means anything without God's blessing on what we have and what we do. And it's for Jesus' sake that we pray for that blessing. It's for Jesus' sake alone that this blessing is secured, who suffered and who thirsted and who died so that we might know the satisfaction of God. It is for Jesus' sake that having our needs met by the Father is truly worthwhile, as we're blessed with what we need to serve our God, who's already blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Jesus teaches us, my friends, in the fourth petition, to make prayer a daily priority. And our prayers will be that way more and more as we remember the priority of God's cause in our lives as His children in Christ. And as we remember the daily needs we have and needs that are met, as we come to the Father, whom we're called to confess is the One who didn't spare His only Son, but He gave Him up for us all, and who promises His children in Jesus Christ that He'll graciously give you
all things. Amen.
Our Father, may we find that both in our prayers and in our practice and our praise, your priority may be found. That you would supply us to that end and assure us that you will meet those supplies for us. Because you didn't spare your Son, why would you spare us anything else that we need? Thank you, Lord, for your Savior, your Son, your Savior for us who has taught us to pray. And we'd ask, Lord, that you'd accept our prayers right now for the sake of Christ. Amen.